both your grandparents in the Taytonka area, or?
Yes. I had one, my grandpa Hansen, Rasmus Hansen. He lived the first house on the other side of the street here. And he was a farmer. He was a Dane. He loved his perch and horses. And that's kind of trickled down to me, too. And when he retired and came to town, he built that new house. And then he became the town marshal, maintenance man, too. And he was the one that was here when they put the water tower up and the city water ground down. And I did not know he was town marshal. I probably knew it at the time, but forgot until I was going through all the old records when I started to be a peace officer in town here. And it surprised me because I had forgotten it or didn't know it. So I guess that carried on too. And he had a big garden. He loved to raise flowers. He had one whole lot here where the second house sits. That was his too. That was all garden. And he gave away garden stuff. And I know he'd come down and get our team of horses and the plow and all the other stuff and go up and plow his garden in the fall. Of course, I'd go along too. And I know my dad, he put the lines different on the harness than what my grandpa did. And I was standing out there and I told him, Dad, don't do that that way. Dad, don't do that that way. And my other grandpa, he died before I was born. He was only 54 years old. He died of cancer. And my grandma, she moved here and there with her some of her sons. She had 10 children until they got married, and then she retired and moved into Alcona, and that's where she died in 1949. In 1949, I lost both of my grandmothers. My grandpa Hansen, he died in 1941. I forget how old he was. But I had a great grandpa, August Schrader. He's buried out here on the Lutheran Cemetery. He was in the Civil War and he got wounded twice and he contracted some disease that he was not too healthy for the rest of his life. Anyway, when he went in service, he lied about his age. He was only 14 years old. He carried a musket until they found out how old he was. So he was a drummer boy after that. That's a story that came down through my mom. But he was from Wisconsin. When the war ended, he went back. He got married. He would buy 40 acres and clear it and sell it. Then he moved to Iowa, raised his family, and then he died here, him and his wife, Minnie. My grandpa Hansen, he used to come down and get me with his old Model T car, and we'd go for a ride here and there, and he was a good grandpa. When I was sick, he would bring me one of these little Baby Ruth candy bars, but he says, you can't eat it until you get well. Well, I was sick a lot when I was a kid, and I'd get about every disease that came along. And I had these old peach crates. You know, they were separated. You know, there was one compartment here. That was my shelf in my bedroom. Would you believe that there was Baby Ruth candy bars at least 6 inches high? But I couldn't eat them. I guess it was an incentive for me to get better.
So did you ever eat them? Or?
Oh, yes. They got eaten. I don't think I probably shared with anybody. No, my dad ran over me. I was hanging on the side of the car. My brother had moved to Minnesota, and we were moving some of his stuff over to our place so they could rent out the house. Anyway, I was hanging on the side of the Model A car. We went by some prunes or plums that were on a tree, and I reached out and grabbed, and I reached a little too far. Lost my balance, fell, got underneath these old knobby tires on the Model A car, and it drugged me, and that stopped finally. And this wheel wasn't turning. I had stopped the wheel. Anyway, I got back in the car, got home. My sister wiped it off with a washcloth, but I got bug poisoning, and I almost lost my leg. It wouldn't have been for old Doc Sartor here in town and his blood poison salve that smelled like rotten eggs. I would have lost my leg. My mom put hot packs on it, and it broke open, and she got almost a cup full of bloody pus and stuff out of there. But I did lose, like, the joint water, and it never really came back. And so as a result, I had a stiff knee. I still got a stiff knee. It's stiffer than what it used to be. They say arthritis is in there.
Then you did pretty good for that time in medical.
Yes. My dad made a crutch for me because there was no crutches around. I mean, life was awful basic. I know now you can go to the VA and get crutches. You can go down here to Legion Auxiliary, they got everything that you want, wheelchairs, everything. But at that time, no, he made me a crutch finally. And my old uncle, Charlie Cooper, would come and see me every day, just like my grandpa did. And he made me a whirligig wind deal, and he put it out on where the pump was, where I could see it from my bedroom. He was a good old uncle.
So how long did it take you to heal?
Oh, gee. I think I missed a month of school in the third grade. And my mom wanted to keep me back, but the teacher says, no, he's smart enough. I'll give you books to take home this summer. I'm going to pass him. You take them home, and you have him read and do the arithmetic, and he will go. Which I did. But it got so I hated to read every day because I wanted to be outside.
Now, was the doctor a full-time doctor here in town? Or
we had two of them. We had two doctors. One dentist. And we had a chiropractor. But now that's all. You got to go to another town.
What was the main reason for, like, the settling here? I mean, what was it, a railroad, or what brought?
Well, the railroad came after the people came. My dad lived out of, when they moved up from Goldfield, he was 7 years old. And he was born down by Goldfield, a little settlement called Owl Creek at that time. And he moved up about a mile and a half south of town here, and there's a big hill there. And he told me they would go, him and his sister and his brother would go out there on that hill, and they could watch the town being built. They could see it going up, because this was prairie, no trees at all.